All right, kids, welcome to episode 409, awesome podcast done quick. I'm your man on the mic, Saverin, and we're here to speedrun a podcast. With us, the runner is Fuzzwolf.
I am Fuzzwolf.
And we also, on the couch, we have Shiva, being the couch.
I'm perched precariously.
All right, so the thing we're going to be running today is a podcast, which we've done for like a decade now. So we're going to try to do it. Your time window looks like about an hour 15. So on this mark, let's like, all right, 3, 2, 1, and let's go. All right, so hi. Hello,
welcome
to the show. It is AGDQ week here in America. Well, it's AGDQ all worldwide because people come from all over to
do runs. It's on the internet.
It's on the internet. And I'm letting you know that I'm missing a Celeste run.
Don't know what that is.
Donation-wise.
They were at over 700,000 last I looked.
Nice.
So they're ahead of last year's number by several tens of thousands at this point.
What's the charity?
It's a cancer screening. It's called the Prevent Cancer Foundation, and they do cancer screenings for people, for like low income people and whatnot.
Good.
So they're actually pretty highly rated in terms of their like charity tracker stuff.
Oh, cool.
Good.
Up there with like Doctors Without Borders, which is their summer charity. So that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. So I've been watching a shitload of that this week, in addition to everything else.
Shout out to Brescentia, our furry.
He ran his game this morning, Monkey King, in the awful block. He was supposed to go at like 7:55 or whatever, and I set my alarm and woke up at like 7:30 this morning so I wouldn't miss it. And because they were ahead of schedule, I literally sat down, turned on my monitors to see him at the end screen. He's like, well, that's it. Thanks for watching. It's like, thanks to Brocincha for his awesome Monkey King run. Up next is, insert, I think it was Urban Yeti. I forget what it was. It was some other awful game because it was the awful block went from like midnight last night to 9, 10 o'clock this morning.
What is awful block?
It's awful games done quick. It's something he's been doing for a while where like they'll take like games really? That are widely regarded as pretty bad. Like, he does a lot of stuff from, like, the 8-bit Nintendo era. Like,
yeah, lots of cash grab games, tie-in games.
He did
like
a speed run of, like, Friday the 13th once where I saw some of that.
And he, like, speed runs the Back to the Future games because they're really bad. Basically, the idea of licensed games being bad started in the Genesis or the 8-bit era. And probably before that, too, because, I mean, E.T. was on the 2600.
Yeah, I was going to say, worst game.
I was listening to the Dollop episode on the Atari.
Yeah.
And basically what happened with that and how, like, they waited too long to release it. And then, you know, the whole thing with them burying them all in the desert was, like, this big rumor for a long time until a group actually funded going out there and excavating, and they found all the crushed ET cartridges.
Yep.
Apparently, a new in-box copy of ET will go for like $900 on eBay now.
Well, it's such a fucking awful.
I paid $2 for my copy. I have a bare cartridge, though.
So, like, because so many were like destroyed. And parents like returned them and they lost a shitload of money. Finding a new in box one is actually really rare.
Yeah. It's a weird chase item, but yeah.
This game apparently sold for $40 new back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Played it, my parents had it. It was awful.
And that's like $40 in 80s money. That was an expensive fucking game.
Yeah.
Yeah. The price of video games has not matched with inflation.
No. Like
if anything, it's gone down over time.
It has, yeah.
Because, you know, now you have indie games that are like $15, $20, but then even AAA titles are now $60.
Right.
A lot of them have like season passes and whatever.
And then they drop in price really fast. You wait like a month and they're half the price.
Yeah. We live in interesting times, and video games are really cool when they're being speedrun for charity.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Up tonight is the like 6-hour 100% Legend of Zelda Wind Waker run, which I'm gonna be editing through because holy shit, 6 hours of Legend of Zelda in one go. Ooh, I can't do that. That's video games. That's exciting.
Woo!
So Shiva,
Mm-hmm. Oh, about- so oh, real quick, I pulled up the CPI inflation calculator. Uh-huh. $40 in January of 1984, I don't remember the exact date and month that ET came out, would be worth $98.94 as of November 2018, which is the latest date they have.
Which is a pretty good chunk of change.
It's more than double. It's basically, it's $100 now.
Yeah.
And they don't always sell games for $100 unless it's like the super collector edition of WoW or something.
They just don't do it directly. So like, oh yeah, game $60, but then you got to get the season pass that has the DLC and that's $30.
Yeah.
And I paid $90 for Smash Brothers because it was the game plus DLC. So certain games do that.
And actually, I guess they could do that with Smash Brothers because it's so popular.
Yeah, and they're releasing like 5 or 6 extra characters.
Right.
Yeah, I bought that for my nephew for Christmas.
But yeah, like games like Night in the Woods were like $10 or $15 or something.
Yeah, and that's multiple people getting not paid for the development time then hoping to make money when it comes out. Yeah, I mean, the whole math around small games business mm-hmm. is something that I'm not super not qualified to talk about, but it is very sketchy.
I know you're telling me about like Scott Benson was doing like 80-hour weeks or something ridiculous like that.
Oh, I'm sure.
In the days leading up to the launch.
And then he's working on doing some sort of like co-op here in the near future, if you've been following his Twitter there. So that
I'm behind on that.
That's fine. It's Twitter. But like,
unfortunately, I feel bad about that. I don't follow him on Twitter because it's a lot of video game talk and it's not a field I'm interested in at all. I just really like Night in the Woods for the aesthetic. And yeah, it's furry, but like, I just really like the character and the world design and the story and everything. So it's like the one. You know, everyone has that one of a category that they like, even if they don't normally get into it. Like musicals, there's like maybe 3 that I like, but it's not my scene usually. Yeah.
The other stuff, like, there has been a lot of other good stuff being run. Like, there was the Sonic block on AGDQ, which had some very energetic, good runners that. And there mm-hmm. was a couple good races. And I've had fun watching it this week. It's been a nice distraction from the Hellscape that is our world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, keeping though on the topic, are you much into Overwatch, Shiva?
I am. I don't play the game, but I love the world.
So. Do you have strong opinions about gay soldiers?
Not especially.
No. I don't really care either. It's just,
yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, well, you kind of did it in like a little like printed format, but it's not like.
It's not in the game as such.
Yeah, it doesn't affect the game. It's not like Soldier 76 throws down his healing field and says, gay rights!
Which apparently Tracer was the same way when they made her a lesbian. It was in the
hey, like, love, comic. The Calvary's queer. You know, she doesn't say that. Mm-hmm. So, yes, this week it was announced, sort of, that...
I love how they still shit themselves over it, though, when they're like, this character is canonically gay. It's like,
Yeah, I linked a video had a video that was really funny that was like a compilation of people flipping the fuck out on Twitter
yeah.
and on various other sites that the concept, oh my god, Soldier 76, the leader of Overwatch, and this old man is gay. Mm-hmm. Because they put out a side story for Anna where like her and Soldier 76 are reminiscing about their Overwatch days and he's like recruiting her back into the renewed organization, which doesn't really, it's like all background fiction. It doesn't affect the game in any way.
It's world building.
It's like supplemental mm-hmm. material. Like they've done all these comics and videos and some short stories now.
I like their world building because I like their world.
Oh, you it's, know,
the
it's
game
neat.
Itself is mm. okay, but I like the world. I wish they would do more with the world outside of the game.
Yeah.
Like I'd like a web series or a cartoon or something.
I wish it could have been the narrative action game it was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. It could have been Titan instead of, hey, we've got these characters and we're going to slap them into a hero shooter. Mm. Like, mm-hmm. they repurposed... Overwatch is a repurposing of old material into something new.
So is it like a first-person shooter?
Yes, first-person team shooter. There's like 30 characters now and they all have different abilities.
Okay.
It fits the genre of... quote, hero shooter, where every character is their own character. Mm-hmm. You're not generic soldier McShooty pants. When you have a wide variety of guns, you are the spunky British Zippy Girl, or the American Cowboy, or the Fat Australian, or the, you know, insert character here, the spunky Jamaican Brazilian musician who heals through the power of song, who's like my main.
Did you happen to see this little short video someone made? It's basically like early Resident Evil movies be like, and it's like, it's just a short film of a guy dressed like a Resident Evil character, and he's walking around like a storeroom or something like that. But the camera work is really good. Well, it's really good in that it was shot specifically to look like a Resident Evil game. So like, you see him turn and look at something on a shelf, but like the camera is like at his shoulder, so you can barely see his face. And it's a live action shot of like, this is what these games looked like back in the day.
Yeah. Speaking of that, that was another game I saw get speedrun.
Oh yeah.
The original Resident Evil, and whew. Those games don't hold up, especially the original PlayStation version. It's minor gaming news in that, hey, they've done some more world building, and now there's another queer character in the show, and then everyone's like, that's assuming that they're not all queer. It's like, the internet has these characters. They're all gay.
So,
Junkrat, Roadhog, extremely gay.
Apparently, some white male gamers are complaining about how I don't want to play a gay character because I'm not gay. And the tweet was like, all women and people of color. Oh no, you poor baby.
There was a Reddit Our Relationships post about this woman. She posted about her boyfriend was tanking one of their favorite couples activities, playing Overwatch together, that he was refusing to play the game anymore because they had turned one of his favorite characters gay. And she's like, is this a problem? Because this seems like a problem.
Yeah.
It was like, oh man.
Like, if you're not a homophobe and then you discover that your boyfriend probably is, it's like, ooh, you guys need to probably have a discussion about your worldview and kind of see if you're on the same page before you you go any further with the relationship.
And it's really an interesting thing because, you know, it is – people are kind of discouraged from, anything talking about your sexuality is viewed as being like, oh, you're just being political or whatever. Right.
Like our existence.
Yeah, our existence is political to the degree that people keep making politics of it, the fuckers.
Right.
You know, Sonic Fox has tweeted about this a bit today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People, I wish he wouldn't keep going on about how he's gay. And he was like, no, motherfuckers, I am going to talk about it.
You know, being gay is a core part of my personality. And this is a guy using his... He's a kid. He's 20, 21, 22, but he's using his large platform, his 150,000 follower platform, to really just be this really outspoken person. And that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that and using his very large platform to retweet for Planet.
Yeah, so that's pretty helpful.
I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, plug.
Our calendars arrived. Our Cheetah Paws 2019 calendars arrived. They were delayed this year because the artist had eye surgery at some point in the last year, and that set him back on his schedule. Normally, we would have had them in hand for Midwest, but we got them in hand Tuesday night late, I think.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, we've built up all these pre-orders for it, and that's really good. It's selling pretty well. But of course, now we have a lot of work this weekend to get a lot of these orders like shipped and packed and shipped out. So we're going to be busy, but we definitely appreciate the boost from everyone that's retweeted and faved the announcements about it and stuff. So,
and so, you know, Sonic Fox's character is Mr. January, which is nice.
Yeah.
And
which is not because he's Sonic Fox. It's like,
he just bought the slot.
Yeah,
he bought a slot.
Like, Cheetah Paws usually offers up, like, I don't know how many. It's usually two or three slots for auction to have your character in the calendar, and then the other slots are Cheetah Paws's characters he comes up with himself. And you know, I don't know what their exact arrangement was, but it definitely wasn't us being like, oh, hey, put Sonic Fox in there because he's really important or anything like that. He's not in it because he's Sonic Fox. You know, he's in it because he's a furry and wanted a hot drawing of his character.
Like, so, how long ago did he buy this, too? I mean,
I don't know, because that's actually all handled directly by the artist. You know, he just sends us the files and we handle, Tieran handles like getting it to the printer, and we handle putting it on the website and shipping it out. But the actual drawing of it and what characters are going to be in it and the layout and it, all of that Cheetah Paws does.
That's cool.
Oh, and I did want to touch on, like, of course, with a platform as large as that, he is going to be followed by some assholes are maybe following him.
He's going to have his hate followers.
Yeah, he's going to have people that follow him for gaming stuff and are sort of horrified when they see, like, some sexy furry stuff retweeted on his feed. So, like, I saw one where people were like, oh, what's this, you know, furry shit, you know? And one of the replies was, I'm a landlord, and if I saw this calendar hanging in one of my properties, I'd evict them. And, you know, and someone replied to me, he's like, yeah, I'd be calling the police. And it's like, because evicting someone, just kick him out of the blue like that, that's illegal. There's a lot of laws around eviction. It's a major process. And I don't think you could just do that. Although it is legal to evict people for being gay in most parts of the country.
Is it?
It is, yeah. That is still a right that we don't have because we're not... Sexuality is not covered under a lot of the anti-discrimination and fair housing acts and stuff like that. And... occasionally, Democrats in Congress try to bring updates to things like hate crimes laws and stuff like that, but they often get shot down. So even though, like, marriage is legal nationwide now, we're not fully protected members of American society.
It's like, I could see if you, like, broke the terms of your lease, but unless you have no, you know, gay people as being part of the lease itself...
Yeah, there are people talking hot shit on the internet. And I just
mean, yeah, they're not gonna fucking.
It's like, you're not a landlord. Fuck you.
They're not gonna fucking do anything. But it's like it is still legal for shitty people to be like, now you can't kick someone out for being Muslim because religion is always protected, but you can kick someone out for being gay or trans.
So the other point that I was trying to get though about the whole.
Yes.
Like, gay and whatever. You know, these people that are like, oh, you know, I want to see if we can make the furry fandom recognized as a, quote, cultural movement akin to the hippies of the 60s rather than sexual deviance and public perception. And then, you know, their better reply is like, you know, tired, let's convince people we're not horny. It's like, no, let's change the conversation and talk about, promote sexual positivity.
Being less of a Puritan society overall.
You know, ask people why even giving a fuck, because puritanical content policing is a tool of heteronormative hegemony used to oppress queer people. You know, talking about, like, going back to the Sonic Fox thing about, you know, lol, I'm gay. You know, people like, oh, you know, that's not your entire personality. No, that is a core part of his personality.
Or even if it's not personality, it's a core part of his being. You know,
being gay is perfectly fine. Being horny on Maine is cool. Because, you know, when you let people homogenize it and strip out the weird stuff, that's how you get weird cultural colonization. And
we don't want that. Anything other than straight and white in this society has certain disadvantages.
Yeah.
And it's not all you are. People have other interests and stuff like that. There's more to your personality than just your sexuality. But having a quote unquote alternate sexuality, not being completely straight, the issues that you face just in your day-to-day life with that, that affects how you grow, and it does majorly affect your life. And it's sort of like the people that say, I'm not a racist, I don't see color. Well, that saying I don't see color isn't a good thing, because it, you know, to an African American, like, well, you know, you don't see color, that's really cute for you, but me being black, and I'm not black, I'm saying this from point of view, I'm like, you know, being black definitely affects that person's life, you know, and how they move through life and having to deal with racists and the rise of the racist right, or just even going for a job and shit like that. And, you know, having to worry about discrimination there. You erase that person's struggle and that person's culture and what they're going through by saying, I don't see color, as if color doesn't matter. Color shouldn't matter. We should all be treated equally, but we're not. And that's not the world that we live in. And so It shouldn't matter, but it does.
So, sexual positivity is good. Like, where are we going with this?
Yeah, and like I've gone back and forth over how over the years of about how outwardly sexual furry should be, because like I don't know, I came from a kind of sexually conservative background, I guess. So like, yeah, I do feel a little squicked sometimes, and I see like bondage gear in public, and you know, I don't want to get like a bunch of hate mail, but like pup hoods and stuff like that. But at the same time, I'm like, I could see the more, I guess, liberal side of that. So I choose to just kind of not say anything, you know, apart from what I just said, obviously, you know, but I'm not going to like make it a big thing or push to ban everything that I don't like. Because if I banned everything I don't like from furry cons, it would be a pretty one-sided furry con.
You'd be like, know? Yo, you've come here to purchase books for me, and that's it.
Right, yeah. And like
writing panels.
There's you can't have a furry con based just on what I like about the fandom, you know? You can't do that for any one person. It's a very large, sprawling community of extremely diverse interests. And what I like is that you can just sort of not touch the parts that make you feel squicky.
Yeah.
You know? You want to be squeaky clean, you can do that. If you want to be majorly into paws, you can be majorly into paws, you know?
See, I was going to say, if you want to be squeaky clean, cool. If you want to squeak and be a pool toy, you can do that too.
Right. Yeah. There you go.
The fandom is sexual. The fandom is non-sexual. The fandom is made of people that are going to be horny, and there's people that are not always horny, or that just aren't horny, you know?
Right.
There's a lot to it. You can't just
say, pounded in the butt by nothing, and that's okay too.
Yes, the tingler for the ace folk. Well, because like you have these other things. This actually goes into one of the topics that I had in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
That Matt Baum wrote an article about HIV testing being available at MFF and various people's responses to that. And my response to it at the time was HIV testing being available for free is 100% good and cool.
Mm-hmm.
Full stop. Because, you know, like, one, hey, it's free healthcare of
right.
some sort, right?
Yeah.
Take it where you can get it. This is the U.S. And two, it's like, it's really good to know, like, your status and whatnot. And people are like, oh, but people are going to think conventions are full of nothing but sex. And I'm like, that's what happens when you put any group of people inside a building together for a convention. Nerds? Yeah. Old people? Sure.
Librarians apparently fuck like bunnies.
Oh, yeah. Dentists, I'm sure.
Uh-huh. You know? Yeah.
The Baptists. They also probably clear out the liquor stores, as they are wont to do.
Yeah. They're not supposed to drink, but boy, howdy, do they.
Well, I mean, hell. I mean, you put enough old people in an area, and I remember reading an article recently about like this one retirement community in Florida having this astronomical gonorrhea outbreak because there's like 8 women for every old man and they all fuck.
Yeah.
You know, they're geriatric, but their dicks still work thanks to the miracle of pharmacology. And whoops, granny got an STD, you know, like.
And I am totally down for old people in a retirement community still getting their freak on. I mean, to me, that's a positive thing.
Hey, you're still living. Great.
You know, everyone's an adult as long as it's consensual, you know. Of course, they're probably not wrapping up because they're like, well, we're well past having children.
Yeah.
But like, clearly they need to still practice safe sex.
But going back to the topic, though, I mean, like, people are like, oh, you know, HIV testing be available at cons is just going to give cons a bad look. I'm like, nah, man. I know that certain anime cons have done this. I think PAX South has done it. Like,
really?
Yeah. Like, minor-ass free health screening stuff being available at conventions is not new. Like, the fact that it is at the biggest furry con that we have, that's cool and good.
Yeah.
You know, and the story only mentions they only tested like 200 people total over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not everybody's going to avail themselves of it, or people might be, you know, scared to find out one way or the other.
Well, and a lot of people actually go and get tested before a major con.
Yeah, because you want to know.
So they can show up at the con and be like,
yo, got my AKC papers. I'm clean.
Yeah, I'm clean. You know?
Yeah, I mean, puppy papers.
I did that for last Fiesta, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm probably due to get that done again. And so, you know, it's just good to know what your status is. for anything before you go to a thing and fuck.
And it's like, yeah, I could sort of see like some arguments of being like, well, it's off topic for the con. But then you also have like fucking university recruitment tables at conventions, you know?
Or people doing surveys.
And people doing surveys. And like, there's all these other tables like in the Artist Alley type area where it's like, I think like, was it like Texas A&M or something that was at Fiesta? There's some university that's at Fiesta every year.
I think it's UT that was doing the furry survey.
Okay.
But again, it was just like, it's not all going to be quote on topic, but that's fine. Like, again, we talk about the fandom being this really broad thing.
Yeah.
You know, that an outside group is coming in to give free STD testing to attendees if they want it.
Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, again, free healthcare in the U.S. Take it where you can get it.
Yeah.
Even if it is just a simple 30-minute blood test where they take a bit and go, you're good, or, ooh, we need to talk, you know. Mm-hmm. And hopefully nobody landed in the latter department. I just think that when it comes to, you know, this whole thing is to talk about, you know, being authentic, being able to be horny, you know, keeping it weird, and then talking about, you know, how conventions having safe sex information and free HIV testing, you know, that's just keeping it real with us, you know. So that is being authentic. That's being, you know, we're not trying to like scrub furry ultra clean, because that's never going to happen.
And we have a whole bunch of young people who they don't always play safe. They don't always play smart.
Hell, a lot of them might not even know better how to properly use a condom and stuff like that. You know, if there's educational information available, they got to learn somehow.
The bottom was wearing a condom. I thought we were safe.
Everybody needs to wear a condom. Just put one on, you know, every finger. Don't, you know.
Those full body condoms from the Naked Gun.
You need to put it on top over your head and then inflate it so that you have this balloon on your head to protect your brain.
And you know, that's how you do oral sex safely.
Exactly. God. You know, those things do inflate pretty far.
Instead of putting the condom on the other person's dick, the person giving the blowy has to put it over their entire head.
I don't think that's how that works, Fuzz.
You're like, I'm having trouble breathing. I'm not fit. I'm so close. I'm starting to see stars.
Fight through the pain.
Cut nose holes, but then the condom won't work.
It'll break and just go everywhere. So that was an important topic that I wanted to hit on this week, because
yeah,
Matt Baum is some dude. He wrote for this website called Into, which, you know, it's like a furry convention offers lessons in safe sex. It was posted on the 3rd. I'll include a link in the show notes for all the stuff that we talked about this week.
On topic, Matt Baum is also the guy that wrote the article about The Time He Desires by Kyle Gold for Slate.
Oh, neat.
He was the guy who wrote that article that got reposted around quite a lot.
And the internet normies got a hold of.
And there was a lot of hate and a lot of nasty comments and stuff like that.
And then people,
but you know,
copies.
What? The book sold pretty well. That was like the single best piece of advertising that book could have gotten. So for all the haters out there, there's definitely an equal number of people that were like, oh, that looks interesting. I want to check that book out.
There's one about gay furries? Oh.
Wait, furries are gay? There was actually a pretty funny point and clickbait article that was like, gamer feels friend coming out is unrealistic and forced. And he's like, he never talks about his sexuality. That means he's straight. And it's point and clickbait. It's Onion type article. But it was just like, yeah, that's kind of how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody thinks default straight. That's not how it is.
In furry, I think default bi until proven otherwise.
Yeah, it's
that
like
seems to be most of it.
Default horny, and then whichever way you flow is up mm-hmm. to you. So shifting topics a bit, there is a anti-lynching statute that is finally, well, it's been passed.
Right.
And like,
I remember hearing about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is one of those where we get to be from like, hey, sexuality is good and cool, to Jesus Christ, these puritanical fucks. So it's sort of in the same vein. It flows. So
the main vein.
Evangelical activists want LGBT people excluded from anti-lynching bill.
What?
So Liberty Council, those good old evangelical boys.
Oh, they're some of the biggest fucks.
Yep. They're pressing Republican lawmakers to strip protections for LGBT people from an anti-lynching bill. The Justice for Victims of Lynching Act cleared the U.S. Senate on December 20th in a rare unanimous vote. The bill would allow lynchings, bias-motivated mob killings without legal authority, to be charged as a federal hate crime for the first time. However, evangelical law firm Liberty Counsel is upset because a portion of the bill includes protections for LGBT people as well as ethnic minorities.
We want to have our rights to kill gays, goddammit.
Which I'm like, if they're upset about ethnic minorities getting protection from lynching, I mean, they were the victims of lynching 99% of the time. So do they just not want the bill? In addition to race, color, religion, and national origin, the law also covers crimes against gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, or disability motivated by hatred. Democratic lawmakers Cory Booker and Kamala Harris, who are both African-American, were behind the legislation. But Liberty Counsel President Matt Staver told fundamentalist Christian news outlet One News Now that he is lobbying lawmakers in the House of Representatives to have the LGBT language removed from the law. Staver claimed the old saying is that once the camel gets the nose in the tent, you can't stop them from coming the rest of the way in. And this would be the first time that you would have in federal law mentioning gender identity and sexual orientation as part of this anti-lynching bill.
I've seen them worry about this before, too, when they were like, there's been movements to have like same-sex partners of federal employees having access to rights. This was before gay marriage was legal. And they said the same thing then, that, you know, oh, once it's federally, your relationship is federally recognized on this level,
can't legally it'll hate you.
It'll lead to, you know, mass hysteria, cats and dogs living together.
Yeah. The activists claim the law is part of a slippery slope that could lead to further LGBT anti-discrimination laws. He claimed they've been unsuccessful over the many years in the past, but this is a way to slip it under a, quote, so-called anti-lynching bill, and then to sort of circle the wagon and then go for the juggler, sick, at some time in the future. Instead of jugular, it says juggler in the text.
Okay.
This was in the post from the
Liberty Council. So it's still legal to lynch jugglers?
Watch out for juggalos, too, you know.
Yeah, so they're our friends.
Liberty Council is listed as an anti-LGBT hate group. Not big surprise. Best known for representing embattled Kentucky clerk Kim Davis when she refused to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples after a U.S. Supreme Court decision to legalize gay marriage. Evangelical law firm Liberty Counsel has a history of spreading anti-gay propaganda and is classified as a hate group by extremism watchdog Southern Poverty Law Center due to its aggressive messaging and tactics. Staver has previously made false claims that the first responders at the 2016 Pulse Gay Club attack had to get tested for age-related conditions because of the blood of gay victims. Liberty Counsel has previously admitted helping state Republican lawmakers to draft anti-gay legislation as well as attempting to push anti-gay laws around the world. So that was one of those things that came up in the week, and I'm like, wow, you know, you guys are really itching for a persecution.
Yeah, fuck those people, man.
Anti-lynching. Oh, it's like, yeah, we don't want these people to die, but oh no, but that includes the queers. But what if we want to kill the queers?
They want to leave that door open a crack.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like the fuckers that keep blocking legislation to remove anti-sodomy laws from the books because they're just fucking waiting for the Supreme Court or something to flip and be like, you know, actually gays are bad. And they can't fuck anymore. And then they're like, law's back on the books, boys.
Yeah. It's, the decision was Lawrence v. Texas back in 2003. And
2003. So 15 years ago.
Yeah. And they want to have the conservative leaning Supreme Court re-decide that case, basically, and overturn previous settled law. And, that's super shitty.
Yep. Basically, they should die mad about it, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Mm.
Because what? They don't want to be lynched? What next? What are they going to ask for next?
Stop getting stabbed in dark alleys?
Getting kicked out of their homes when they come out?
When they dare to hang sexy tiger calendars.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Fairplanet.com.
Thank you, Saverin.
It's like that. Oh, God. That kind of reminds me of that joke that was like where the murder podcast has the Blue Apron ad in the middle. Like, right, he chopped up his victims like, I'm going to chop up my chicken from blueapron.com. Though there was some other good news. The young woman who was sentenced to like a billion years in prison for murdering like the life. Man who bought her as a sex slave had her sentence commuted.
Yeah.
Though she's still going to be in prison till August for some fuck stupid reason.
That's ridiculous. Especially since she's already been in prison
for 14 years. So she's 30 or so. Like she's
Maybe I'm thinking of a different case. Yeah. I thought this was a younger girl.
No, so the woman's name is Santonia
Brown. Happened back in the day when she was like 15. Yeah. And quite a bit of time has passed since then.
And they tried her as an adult, despite the fact that she had been a
sexual victim of sexual trafficking.
For years, from what I understand.
Yeah. Was granted clemency from a life sentence in prison for killing a man who bought her for sex when she was 16. She'll be released on parole supervision on August 7th. Like, this is something that's been going on for a long time.
There's so many things fucked up about this. Number one, she's going to be released on parole supervision. That's fucked up because, in my mind, she's not guilty because of reasons of self-defense. And the fact that they're commuting her sentence, okay, that's good. She's not going to be in jail for the rest of her life. It's bad in that commuting means that she's still legally guilty. She's still legally a felon, even if she's not in jail until she's 80. She should just be pardoned, you know, but of course that's not going to happen in this administration. So yeah, I mean, it's good that she's getting out of jail, but it's still a super fucked up situation and she should not have served any jail time at all.
Yeah. Like, looking at the thing, you know, she was 16 when she got tried as an adult and sentenced to life in prison. And it has been one of those things that been, like, kind of, nobody talked about it. Because this is, people have known about this for a long time. Because she's been in prison for 15 years. And only once it really hit the national stage after 15 years, you know, they pressured the outgoing governor of Tennessee to grant clemency before she gets booted.
Yeah, and you know, it's because she's not white.
Yeah, I mean, she's, you know, Hispanic or African American, so you know, she got tried as much on a much higher tier. If this had happened to a pretty white blonde girl, she wouldn't have served a day in jail.
Mm-hmm. It's so fucked up too, because like, yeah, they're all about anti-human trafficking laws and stuff like that, right? But yeah, you know, when they have the opportunity to actually protect someone who was a victim,
they're like, nope, to jail with you.
Yeah,
it's a good end to a fucked up bad story. It's one of those where it's like, oh well, something good in the world, yay. Oh, nice. So Ajax just retweeted a thing. It's like, I love my gay dad ribbons for con badges, and it's with the headshot of Soldier 76. That's nice. So did you guys have any topics that you wanted to hit? Because that was like the five things that I threw into the chat.
You hit most of my major ones.
Yeah, we were talking politics before it started. Oh, the shutdown. We were doing.
Yeah, there was a shutdown. I mean,
Shiva and I were discussing how fucked up that is. So I tweeted something on the Fur Planet account it's like a week or two ago. And this is good to mention on the show, too. I don't think I've mentioned it before. So currently, the TSA workers are considered essential. So they have to be on a job, but they're not being paid right now. And a large number of people are calling in sick. So currently at airports, the TSA is understaffed. And I mentioned this on the Fur Planet account because we're coming up on a major convention here in about 10 days. Mm-hmm. For the Confusion out in California. So if you're planning to fly to FC, be sure to give yourself additional time to get to the airport and get through security. Because depending on where you're flying from and how busy your airport is and so forth, and especially flying back, because the San Jose and San Francisco airports are pretty big hubs, give yourself extra time.
Lots of extra time.
Yep, to get through security, because unless this is completely resolved by the Wednesday or Thursday before FC, the situation is still going to be that way. And you're going to be looking at longer lines for security.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely something that's going to affect the fandom. I mean, but then we also have other things like the National Zoo is closed.
And I'm really pissed off about, Joshua Tree.
Yeah. I think you retweeted that today.
There's quite a few issues with that. Like, it was open for a while, but they didn't have any bathroom service because so many people, employees at that park were not deemed essential. So there was nobody there to clean up. So people were still going there and they were just shitting and pissing everywhere. And eventually the park basically, had to close because people were fucking it up. And apparently somebody like cut down a tree there so that they could drive into an area that was restricted, because national parks usually have restricted areas that are protected because of like erosion concerns, or
this is, you know,
species protected area or whatnot. But somebody fucking cut down a tree and drove their big ass vehicle into a restricted area of this park.
Four-wheeling.
I mean, for fuck's sake, you know, right now I'm like, hey, don't go to any state parks or national monuments right now, because they're in the middle of a government shutdown and services are limited. And now is like the worst fucking time to visit any of these places.
This is some,
but some of these assholes are like taking advantage of it and just
to go bust up ancient growth trees.
Yeah. And like, you're supposed to, when you go out there and like, there's no bathrooms or whatever, you're supposed to literally take your shit with you. People, you're not supposed to leave a trace, but people are just
fucking shit up,
taking a dump in the woods in a state park. And it's like
doing like Yellowstone and all these other places too. And like, people are like, oh, what, there's nobody to stop me, so I'm going to go shit up this national monument. It's like, look, the only thing you should be shitting and pissing on is Ronald Reagan's grave. Okay. It's a unisex toilet, as God intended, you know, and soon to be George H.W. Bush's. But you know, that's really affecting things. But also, like, we're coming up on issues of, well, federal contractors aren't getting paid. Food stamps aren't going to be going out. Tax returns aren't going to be going out on time.
So there's been some movement on that.
They're trying to force McConnell's hand, but that fucker is refusing to even let it go to vote.
I'd heard
someone needs to fucking break his knees, I swear to God.
Apparently Trump did want to push through the IRS having to do refunds with their reduced staff. And it's like, and that's just a political play, because you know that the tide is really going to turn against this government shutdown once ordinary citizens are not getting their tax returns. So he's basically trying to save face and not get completely backed into a corner with this shit, which, you know, he's doing a really good job of doing himself anyway.
It's gonna affecting farmers. They're not getting their subsidy money. It's affecting
small businesses, because the Small Business Administration is shut down, so they can't approve any small business loans, which a lot of small business loans like can be kind of time sensitive. Like, if you're looking to expand your business, or you're a retailer and you're looking to like open another retail store and you need to borrow $100,000 or something.
I mean,
the other thing it's affecting is, so I didn't know, but Sigrid Ellis, who is an editor in the science fiction writing community, I didn't know before now that her day job is she's an air traffic controller.
Yeah.
And currently air traffic controllers are not being paid. And that's a very high stress job, and it's a very important job, but they're not being paid. And worse than that, the Federal Aviation Administration can't hire any new air traffic controllers, new TSA agents, or new pilots. So as people age out to retire, which could happen at any point, or quit, because they haven't been paid. And like, if this drags on after a while, like, even if you're essential and you're expected to show up and you will get back pay, some people are just not in a position to not be paid for a month.
Yeah.
You know? So this actually, you know, and yeah, a lot of people are like, ah, oh, fuck the government. What good does it ever do? I can live without going to a state park. Turns out, like, the government actually does a lot. And this is going to start, like, affecting financial transactions and shit, too.
And it's going to affect poor rural people. It's fucking up native reservations, because it's cutting off access to their banking and to, like, access to food shipments and whatever. Mm-hmm. It's fucking up the USDA and FDA.
Yeah.
Not doing food inspections.
Right. And they're now saying that the FDA had just said something like, yeah, the food might not be safe because we don't have the staff to fucking check everything. And wasn't it just like 2 or 3 weeks ago we had the fucking romaine lettuce issue?
Mm-hmm. People shitting themselves to death.
Right. So if you get violently ill, blame Trump. Well, I mean, you know, Trump existing makes me violently ill, but I mean more so than normal.
There was a fucked up story, too, that I read. This is like prison bullshit. So Florida has a number of federal penitentiaries, right? Federal prisons.
Uh-huh.
And some of them up in the panhandle got really fucked up during that hurricane.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And so they had to move a bunch of prisoners off to like Mississippi or whatever. It's a long ass drive away.
Okay.
So, but they're federal employees. Right. So they're not getting paid. So you've got these very poor, very rural, conservative ass prison workers who, whether they want to or not, they work for the prison industrial complex, but they're basically having to drive multiple hours, live out of motels for 2 weeks at a time, and then come back, but they're not getting paid. So it's like you've got these people, these poor rural people who probably voted to put themselves in the situation, having to mm-hmm. basically leave their kids for 2 weeks or so at a time, do, you know, prison work at another jail in another state, and they get to come home for a weekend or whatever before they go back, and they're not even getting paid. So, like, they're in this horrible, shitty situation where they're all poor as shit and working terrible jobs that don't pay, and now they're literally not getting paid.
Yeah.
Like, the ripples of this childish behavior is going to hit for a long-ass time because Baby Man didn't get his literal, like, concrete wall. You know, it's just the dumbest shit.
Oh, and Trump Jr. made that fucked up statement about think of the wall as the fence that separates you from the animals at a zoo, which is a heavily loaded, very racist statement.
Oh, yeah. This shutdown is so on the other side, dumb.
Additionally, the situation with this wall is that Trump is pushing for eminent domain. So they're the people that live on the border, that like the Rio Grande is like just beyond their property line. You know, the government is going to have to seize a chunk of their land or their whole land and build the fucking wall on it. And there are like a lot of people that live on the border are already getting letters in the mail. In the early stages of this is, hey, government inspectors want to come in and like test the soil and the density and a lot of people are rightfully saying no, because that's just starting to pave the way for them to come in and take their houses basically. And it's like, yeah, they offer to buy it, and if you refuse,
they take it
and kick you out. They still give you the money, but like seriously, who the fuck would want that to happen? There's one woman that was like has had this house for 3 generations. You know, probably a couple of acres of land down in South Texas, right on the border. You don't want the government to, yeah, like small government, right? Sure, but we're totally cool with coming in, taking your house to build a big fucking wall.
Yeah. Well, like there is a butterfly sanctuary on the Texas border, which is facing similar bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, yeah, if you put up a physical barrier, you're going to prevent the migration of butterflies, which is going to affect all sorts of shit downrange.
Oh, we don't care about that because butterflies are multiple colors.
Yeah, I mean, this is the dumbest timeline. Like, we all it died. Really is. We're all in hell. This is hell world.
And apparently George W. Bush tried this shit back in 06, and there are a bunch of court cases that are still in the court system because so many people lawyered up and fought this back when he wanted to expand the border.
A physical wall like he wants or thinks he wants is a literal logistical impossibility. He will die shitting himself to death on the toilet before a single post of that wall will be put because of all the legal stuff.
Because once it's there, it has to be maintained, it has to be manned, it has to be inspected. It's not just, hey, we build a wall and it's there forever. This is an ongoing like cost of us having to maintain.
Yeah, and plus that would basically ceding the entirety of the Rio Grande to Mexico. Like the river, just like, all right, well, we're going to put stuff on our side of the river and this is our wall. Well, I guess the river belongs to them now?
Yeah, like there's this concept of natural borders, and in this case, that's the fucking river.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, there's actual businesses that that operate on the river. There are tour river boats, tours,
yeah,
river tours to go down there because it's a very beautiful place. There's a lot of natural beauty along the Rio Grande, and like you've got all fucking these beautiful mountains on either side of it, and yeah, people want to go and see that shit, and it's like, how are you going to do that if there's...
Come to Big Bend State Park. Stay for the mountain views. See the giant wall that keeps you from looking across the river valley. You know?
Yeah.
It's the dumbest shit. It'll like, never happen. I
really hope if any of it actually got built, that Mexicans would cross the river and graffiti the fuck out of it. Yeah.
Well,
make it some gigantic fucking art project or something.
People would sabotage it immediately. Like, there would be no peaceful dealing with this, and like the slat thing that they're talking about, like showing, oh, this is what the prototype would look like, you could cut through it with a hacksaw. It's the dumbest shit.
Yeah.
Walls don't work.
Yeah.
A physical barrier is not going to work.
And they keep moving the goalposts, and they're like, well, now it's about drugs. And it's like, well, the majority of the drugs fly in. The majority of terrorists fly in. There's no terrorists that they've caught coming in over the border from Mexico.
Most stuff comes in over water. And
yeah.
The one group that actually has a mandate to stop drug trafficking, the Coast Guard, they're not getting paid right now.
Oh, funny.
Thanks to the shutdown.
Like, the only way to actually keep drugs, terrorists, and illegal immigrants completely out of the country is a fucking dome over the entire continental U.S.
Uh-oh. Don't give him any ideas. Operation Fishbowl.
Sorry, did you say don't give him any ideas?
Oh, God. Needless to say, this is all very dumb.
Honestly, I mean, maybe a dome is a good idea. It would protect the rest of the world from us.
Yeah. We'd eventually suffocate, and that would be fair. It's like, yeah, well, we had a run. It was bad. Turns out.
So, yeah, the world. Ew.
So this is why we say you should totally stick to being a horny furry on Maine.
Yeah.
It's like, embrace your weirdness, live your truth, and
fuck werewolves.
Yes. All literally.
Like that picture I sent you.
Seven werewolves, seven more werewolves.
My ass. It's two trains that
I
are
saw.
You saw it?
Oh, you shared it.
Oh, I shared it in our group, right. I couldn't remember where I'd put that, but yeah.
We're going to stop and save real quick, and we do have a couple emails that we're going to hit this week.
Okay.
And we're back. That break was brought to you by video games, I guess. I don't know. So, you guys can email us, southpawscast@gmail.com. You can contact us. We do still have a Tumblr. It's southpawscast.tumblr.com.
But Tumblr's dying.
But yeah, Tumblr is really dead. Like, I flat out killed my Tumblr. I just flat out deleted it because they decided to go back through and flag a bunch more shit and were things like screenshots from Final Fantasy XIV and my big old pizza nipples from when I was posting weight loss progress pics to Tumblr. And I was like, you know what? I could appeal this massive number of posts, or I could just delete my fucking Tumblr. And I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a number of people being like, man, Tumblr's a fucking ghost town. You think?
Yeah.
So anyways, you can send us questions that way. We got a few emails, a couple date back to MFF, one that's like pretty recent. If you want to shoot some questions our way, feel free to do so. We're full of opinions. I'm going to do the first one here, which is the most recent one. The titled First 127 Episodes. We'll just get this one out of the way. Hello, big fan of the podcast here. I was actually an original Notcast listener way back in the day, and at some point just kind of shifted away from it. I just recently returned to what is now the Southpaws podcast. My question, is there any archive anywhere of the original 127 episodes, or are they gone forever? I really need to go back and re-listen because I have so many questions, such as what happens to former posts. Also, why the name changed from Notcast to Southpaws, and were those first 127 episodes? Thanks for any answers and or help. Your fan, Kyle. Well, first of all, those episodes are probably kind of lost to time. Bear in mind that we've been doing this a decade, and those old episodes, well, they're old and kind of memory hold for a reason. I'm sure that we have the files lurking on some ancient hard drive somewhere amongst our collective data hoardings, but they're not on the feed. Basically, the feed as it stands goes back as far as the current cast setup. Shiva, Fuzz, and I, we're the cast. They're the cast that is. That is the cast that we have audio out there for. Just because, you know, things change, people change, and casts change. As for the title, I mean, back in the day, you know, God, again, 10 years ago, we were being horny, dumb, young furries and thought it'd be funny to riff on a podcast that podfaded before we'd finished our first 100. And then we kept the name for like 9 years. And then we're like, you know what? Let's shift our topic or shift our focus a bit. And here we are, Southpaws.
Honestly, the last year of Notcast was basically Southpaws. Yeah. Like the show had kind of gradually drifted in its focus, like from purely being sex and relationship advice to us discussing more
current events,
what's going on in the fandom. And then we started talking current events, what's going on with politics. And we'd occasionally mentioned like major gay rights things and stuff like that in the first few years, but it wasn't as big a part of the show as it is now. I mean, this is, it's now become more of a topical community podcast. It kind of was a very natural progression to the point where, like, at least I felt that the old name no longer really suited what we were talking about.
Yeah. Again, we've all gotten 10 years older and our perspectives have shifted, and what we're going to discuss, I mean, random relationship advice questions. I mean, sure, if people wanted to still send us that, they could, but that's not what we've been here for a while. I mean, that's not that we reject such things. It's just our show has changed over time. So, I mean, that's really it.
Just a natural progression of a very long-term project.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of shows that are still around that have been this long. Like, there are a few media website podcasts that have been going since, like, 2006.
Are we the longest-running furry podcast now?
Probably. I mean, because
I think so.
Poppet ended a while ago.
But Poppet said they were coming back, but it was never really a podcast.
It was just an early internet video thing, really. They were ahead of the curve when it came to that. But in terms of like continuously running furry thing, we're probably it for whatever that's worth. All these dang upstart kids.
Like, it's just this thing we do.
Yeah, like if we didn't do it on Thursday, we wouldn't know what to do with our Thursday nights.
Yeah.
You know, then you got these dang upstarts kids like parking points, them being young and queer. We're just old and queer. Seriously, we got like a decade on any one member of that show. It's good though. You should check it out. So yeah, I mean, that's basically the answer to your question. We changed our name to more reflect a different point of view, and the first 127 episodes just kind of don't exist because they're from a very different time in both the world and in our lives. So and
nothing of value was lost.
I don't disagree.
There were a lot of good moments in the past, yeah. But overall, I'm like, I'm here for the now. You know, it is current year, and
plus, you know. As we've all gotten older, I'm sure there's some stuff from way back in the day that doesn't fly today. Like, we all admit that, man, I'm sure I've said some dumb shit in the past.
Yeah.
And if it comes back up, be like, yeah, that was dumb. Yeah. I was younger and dumber.
Just I know shit better. That I was ignorant of, shit that my opinion has shifted on. Yeah.
I mean, that's what happens when you've been doing a show for a decade.
Yeah.
You grow up, grow older, and if you don't, that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly hope that I continue to kind of grow and evolve as I age. I know there's this thing that, like, at a certain point, your opinions do kind of become fixed on things. And, like, so, like, yeah, there are some things right now that, like, the younger people totally grok that I don't.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just choose to just not dip into that discourse and recognize that, like, my point of view on that is probably old and busted. If I don't completely get something, I don't really need to shit on other people's parade.
Yeah.
You know? Especially not at Joshua Tree. So I'm just like, you know, I could just keep my mouth shut and let people do what they want. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of head tilt. Don't completely understand. Don't have anything of value to add.
Right.
You do you.
It's a thing. Cool. Yeah.
Shiva, you should probably read the Ohio Furcons email. Yeah.
Hey all, Ohio Fur here. Wanted to give a quick correction on the comments about the Ohio Spite Furry Con. The Spite Con that formed to dig at the then Morphicon actually still ran in Columbus itself. Down in Cincinnati, about an hour and a half away, there's a con Fur Reality. The Fur Reality grew out of a panel ran at a steampunk con several years back, and is still going at opposite times of the year from Anthro, Ohio. Between Cincy, Columbus, and Dayton forming a triangle of big cities, there's a whole lot of us furs here, and both cons are doing all right despite their proximity. From Moonshine Fox.
Yeah, okay. I don't think that is actually contradictory to what I said.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I wasn't.
I have to go listen to the episode.
I wasn't talking about Fur Reality being the Spike Con. It was a different con, and I know that Fur Reality and Anthro Ohio have coexisted in the state for several years now.
I mean, there's
without issue. I don't remember the name of the Spike Con. Like, as I recall, basically started in the same city. As a fuck you, and
I mean, that's kind of like the two Oklahoma cons that are coming up in 2019. Like, I don't think those are spike cons. I just think that's going to be one of those who survives. Or they could just be really small, and people can go to Tulsa or people go to Oklahoma City, because they are still a little bit far apart.
They're not that far.
No, they're not.
Yeah, I'm...
Well, it's like Dallas to Austin, maybe.
That's my only concern about those two cons, is that they're only a month apart, and they're the first two hotel cons in Oklahoma.
And they've got close proximity.
And Tulsa and OKC are not that far apart. And I think that was probably just two unrelated local groups of furries decided to have a con in their area, and they happened to both do it at the same time. And, you know, it's definitely well past time, because OklaCon has been over for several years now. That state should definitely have a fur con. Yeah, I hope it works out well for both of them. Mm-hmm. Currently, I mentioned on Twitter, I don't know if I mentioned it here, but I do have tables for Anthro Expo, which is in Oklahoma City in October. And with half a second here, I can give you the dates, because it's on the calendar, or I thought it was. Okay, it is the weekend of October 18th through 20th, and that is at the Wyndham, Oklahoma City. I already know a couple of things about it, but I don't know if what I know is public, so I can't say anything, but there is definitely some cool shit there. And I'm not just talking about Fur Planet being in the dealer's room.
Well, Fur Planet's a major draw. I mean, y'all are a big, important publishing company. And actually, I was wrong. It's not the distance from here to Austin. It's the distance from here to Waco. It is comparable to...
That's not very far.
Tulsa, yeah. OKC, that's so. Like, what, 2 hours?
Hour 44 drive, it says, from our current location here in North Dallas.
All right, yeah. So 2 hours is the crow flies.
Yeah.
Which I guess is due south.
So it'd be, you know, 2.5 hours if you stop at the Bucky's and, you know.
Get your picture taken with the Bucky statue.
Of course. And, yeah. Is there a Bucky's between here and there? I don't think there is yet. Give them time.
So there will be a Bucky's everywhere.
Hey, I mean, they're
apparently
like
down in Houston, they're just used to
Texas,
it. Yeah, they're just used to it as a thing.
Spreading north. Like, yeah. For us, it's like, oh my God, it's such a novelty, but they're all over the damn place down in Houston and whatnot, apparently.
Yeah.
So, which is cool, because they're nice, well-maintained fuel stops.
Yeah.
So, like, the big mega ones along freeways, but I guess they have smaller ones, kind of like smaller quick trips.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. Because, cool. Like, we have that one quick trip that's off 635 that's kind of a more truck stoppy sized one.
Oh, right. Okay.
That, like, that at Luna Road or whatever, before you cross 35.
Yeah.
And then you've got the neighborhood ones. So
right,
maybe it's like that. They have little ones and big ones. Anyways.
But they're, like, famous for their super clean bathrooms. And
having, like, everything under the sun.
And the big roadside ones, it's, like, the size of a grocery store, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, stop at Bucky's if you're driving through Texas interstates.
Yeah, I mean, if you get the chance, it's a great place to take a piss. And they got beaver nuggets, which are also really tasty.
They taste like Captain Crunch.
That's kind of what they are, really.
Giant pieces of Captain Crunch.
They're beaver nuggets!
So, Fuzz, you have a con report.
Oh, okay. Yes. Let me read this.
This goes back to December 9th from MFF, but they sent us the email after we'd started our winter break.
Yeah. So sorry you just kind of missed out, but okay. This is from Mew. So, hello, podcast friends. Sorry. Oh, yeah, it's MFF Con Reports, the subject line. So, sorry that I'm a week late, but I wanted to send you all a con report on MFF 2018. I thought my take might be interesting for a couple of reasons. One, it was my first furry con. Two, I'm kind of a low-key furry, despite identifying as one for about 6 years now. For instance, I don't really have a well-defined fursona design or much of any art at all, and I don't typically go to any furry events until now. Anyway, on to the real report. I went to the convention with some boys I'm close to, and we met up with some of their friends at the actual con. Outside of a couple of awkward moments involving an unexpected party in the hotel room and one of the roomies having some issues, it was generally very enjoyable to spend time with them in a furry environment that clearly made them feel very comfortable. I ended up going to a room party that turned out to have too many people for me to be comfy at, but I did meet some friends from a furry Discord server I'm in person for the first time, so I'd say it was worth the attempt. Before going to the con, I remember being unsure of what kind of panels would even be at a furry con, and which of them might actually interest me. Fortunately, I found that the panels were basically all various nerdy or creative things, many of which piqued my interest. I found myself spending a large amount of my time at music performances by groups I'd never heard of. Furrhythmics was a very entertaining barbershop quartet, and Masha, I think that's the right name, and her swing band were really fun to see. That sounds neat. I hadn't heard about either of those groups, so maybe I should check them out. Outside of those concerts, I tended to go to game panels, including one of my favorites, Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes. Even though I ended up going to most of the panels by myself, they were all very entertaining, and I'm glad there was such a variety of things to do. I was also a big fan of the Infinite Wrench show, where a playgroup attempted to do 30 bizarro humor mini-plays in 60 minutes. I'd never even heard of them before, but their show is probably now the best thing I've ever seen in a live performance. The furry variety show near the end of the con was also great. There were some great singing and dancing acts, including a woman who rapped an airplane safety presentation to music, a group of fursuiters doing two Broadway-style show tunes about furry conventions, and a blind man who played guitar and sung a very heartfelt original song about feeling included at furry cons. He actually was voted the winner of the show. I was impressed by the production value and scope of these two events, and it was really cool to see them at the con. The main thing I wanted to mention in this report was how I felt surprisingly comfortable at the convention. I'm a gay-leaning bisexual guy who's not exactly closeted in most places, but I'm mostly not visibly queer, and I choose not to broadcast my sexuality most of the time. I never really worried too much about queer-friendly spaces, as I personally didn't think it was very important to me to have that kind of space available. However, after going to MFF and another queer-friendly con recently, I realized that it was just very nice to not have to actively try to hide my interest in boys. I was able to hold hands and lean on the boys I was with and otherwise be open about my sexuality, and I didn't feel like people were silently judging me for it. This kind of also applies to being furry. I've always found myself with a bit of unintentional shame over enjoying the idea of being a cat person, so it was very fun to be around other people who shared the interest and would never judge me over it. Overall, the energy and the atmosphere of the whole con, full of people openly enjoying themselves and their identities, was surprisingly welcome. Overall, I'm really glad that I decided to go to a furry con, particularly a big one like MFF. The friends, the panels, and the atmosphere all added up to make it a great experience for someone who tends to be reluctant to go to big events, especially those that end up being pricey. I think my biggest lesson that I'll remember for next time is to make sure I make more plans to meet people at the con, in order to avoid seeing people I know from Twitter but being too afraid to say hi. I'll definitely make plans to go to another con soon. Motor City is conveniently close to where I live, so I'll probably end up checking that out too. Hopefully my report was interesting to you, at least the last bit about being comfortable. Sorry if it was too rambly. You guys were one of my first podcasts, and I thought it'd be fun to write in. Best regards, Mew. Cool. Thank you very much for the con report. And it's such a different experience being at a fur con, finding your people and being with them all weekend and just kind of being able to like be yourself and, you know, actually have conversations about what you like about furry art and these characters and stuff like that, and have it be a quote normal thing for a weekend. I get a lot out of the cons and the furry community, and I need to get back to a con soon. Pity I'm missing FC this year again.
Yeah.
I wanted to go this year, but work.
I super love hearing from first timers are like, wow, this is great. I didn't know what to expect and I had a great time. Cause that's always good to hear.
Yeah. That's
you
awesome.
Know, I mean, you went to the biggest con in the fandom and had a great time. So now you can go to any con that's a little bit smaller and be a little more intimate and, you know, have hopefully, you know, get yourself some locals that you're friends with. You start knowing people that you go to cons mm-hmm. with, you know, you opened a new world to yourself and that's really cool.
New world.
A whole new place to go get laid. I'm not gonna try to filk this because like I'm tired but that's really great. Thanks for writing in. Glad you had a good time. And yeah, I've heard good things about Motor City. It's in Michigan there.
Detroit Motor City for a con,
which is in Michigan,
right? Yes, it is. Sorry, I was just trying to be more specific for people that may not know.
It's in North America. It's not in the OOP.
The Yuppie.
Not a Ooper or Youper.
Youper.
Yeah. Youper. Anyways.
Oh, that's a Yuppie thing. Get you some pasties.
Oh, God. Yeah, feel free to write in about con reports and stuff. Like, yo, did you do a cool fur meat thing? That's fine. Write in about that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Let us know what cool fandom shit you've
We're
been
all
up
about
to.
The furry culture, furry community.
Yeah.
So I misspoke earlier. FC's not 10 days away. 10 days from now would actually be like Sunday. Of FC.
Oh. So it's next week?
It's next week. So next Thursday.
Tieran's leaving and
people will be flying out.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
This weekend is Aquatifer in Wisconsin.
Yep.
And next weekend is FC and also Anthro Crossroads East, which is in North Carolina.
Cool.
So they are at polar opposite sides of the country. So hopefully, you know, they will not interfere with each other.
They shouldn't interfere with each other. No.
San Jose, California to North Carolina is
a bit of a drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you live dead in the center of the country, you might have a decision to make if you want to go to a con that weekend.
Oh, shoot. Where is it? Where's the Anthro Crossing and Rally?
I'm not sure what city it is. I just put North Carolina in the notes. It might be because
I'd be like, hey, Bob, you want to go take your kids to a fur con?
Dude, he's totally do it.
Yeah, you know?
You know,
his daughter is like 8.
If she's still into ponies, I'm sure there's going to be pony fursuiters or something.
I'm sure. That'd be hilarious.
You know? It'd be like, oh, pony merch. We have these copies of Hoofbeat.
Oh, no.
For like $900. I think they're probably hard to find by now. Or Braybird's
Comic Relief or the train one.
All aboard.
Like, just tangenting off of that, seeing all the formerly pony exclusive artists branch out and become high grade furry artists has been really nice to see, because looking at Braeburn, looking at Atril or
Chocolate
Avante or Glacier Clear or it's just like, yeah, these people that were exclusively drawn ponies like a year and a half ago are not like these fucking top tier level furry artists.
Hey, like we said, the movie established that you can have fursonas in this universe when they introduce cat people. So
like a dimwit dog is another one. You know, they were like, oh, we're gonna do ponies, and now it's like, oh wait, they just posted this really nice Amaterasu set, 2 versions today.
Mm-hmm.
So, as always,
horny about mains. So my whole thing is, hey, FC's next week. Yeah. I won't be there in person, but Zia, Buck, and Tieran will be manning the Fur Planet table. So please go buy some stuff. We had a ton of new shit come out at MFF, which was only a few weeks ago. So if you aren't an MFF, all that'll be new to you. We'll have the calendars. So if you haven't ordered one online already, you'll be able to pick one up at FC. But we're also releasing a new book at FC that wasn't an MFF. It's an anthology of short stories called The Rabbit Dies First. It's edited by Ryan Campbell. And the reason for the title is Ryan was watching something with his husband, who is a jackalope. And there was a bunny. And his husband kind of cringed, because often when you see a bunny in a movie, you know it's gonna die. So they were like, yeah, the rabbit always dies first. And then their friends were like, that would make an interesting writing prompt. So out of that conversation, an anthology was born, and that comes out next week at FC, and it has a very lovely cover by Dark Natasha. So you'll be able to pick that up in the dealer's room also, and we'll have the ebook on Bad Dog Books also. That's it for me, I think. You can write to us at southpawscast@gmail.com. You can find us on Tumblr, Twitter, and Patreon, all at southpawscast. Find me personally at Fuzzwolf on Twitter. You can also go to fuzzwolf.com and you can find links to all the other stuff I'm involved in there.
You can find me on Twitter at Savrin Drake. Find me on snouts.online at Savrin. Find me on Twitch at Savrin.
And you can find me places?
I guess. You can find you on Telegram, I guess.
Yeah, that's about it. And I'm Chimera on there, Khymaera. I've got a Twitter. I can't remember the last time I looked at it.
Yep. And you can also find us in the official Telegram chat.
Yes.
It's full of conversation and pornography.
What's it called again? It's like the Nick and Judy
Appreciation. It's the Southpaw's Nick and Judy Appreciation Station, because people were like joking that a huge chunk of the stuff that got posted was like Nick and Judy stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I just changed the name and, you know, it's still there. We've got a nice active little community in there. Strong code of conduct mods.
And lots of porn.
And lots of porn. So, that'll be in the show notes. You guys can catch us there. And as always, thank you for listening. Good night.
And buy books.